Thank you. You may be seated. As I was studying this week on this message, two characteristics of life came to my mind. Number one, things don't always go as we plan. Secondly, many circumstances in life that we face are uncontrollable. Can't always control the loss of a job or a loved one that passes away. Maybe a parent, maybe a child. Maybe we go through a hurtful divorce or our health fails. We contract a contagious disease or a terminal disease, or we have a financial reversal. A lot of things we go through in life. Life doesn't always go the way we want. And yet if we will allow God, he will engineer our circumstances in order to build our faith, make our faith stronger for him. The life of faith, as we've been talking about it, living by faith, the life of faith always looks to God, not to self. And to move us to that selfless life, that life that looks to God, God must wean us like a baby from his mother. He must wean us from this world's values. God doesn't want to live our lives with a secular, worldly mindset. He wants us to live our lives with a biblical mindset, with an eternal perspective, with his principles as our guiding force. Whether it be an individual or whether it be a church, God wants us to follow his principles in life. So Hebrews 11:22 that we read just a moment ago does not mention it. We're talking about Joseph, who gives us the illustration of a person weaned by faith, learning to think how God wants him to think. It doesn't mention the great and dramatic effects and events of Joseph's life. It doesn't talk about his sorrows and his afflictions, his self-denials, his sufferings, or his great exploits, victories, and triumphs. We see here just one verse about how he requested that his bones not be left in Egypt. When God takes Israel out of Egypt as slaves and moves them to the promised land, God had prophesied it some years ago, and he said one day Israel will move, will become slaves in the foreign land for 400 years, and ultimately God will miraculously deliver them and take them to the land that he gave this people. And so Joseph knew and remembered that promise, and his faith rested on that promise and on the word of God. And he realized because Egypt was not their final home, he requested that even when they left, that even his dry bones would not be left in Egypt. Teaching us, great principle for us today, to let us realize we're not and should not be attached to this world. We should not just look at this world being the finality, but God has another place for believers. God has a heaven that he's promised for. John 14 tells us that he's there now preparing that home for his people. And so heaven is our home, and that's where our thoughts and our ideas should be. So he took Joseph through a series of events in his life in order to teach him this lesson, as he does with us, every one of us. God is working in our lives, the things that he brings into our lives, the things that he takes us through, high points, low points. He's doing it all to get us to turn to him, to get us to put our focus on him and to think like he thinks. First of all, we see just a couple of things, but number one, Joseph was weaned by his circumstances. We see, first of all, and these are all listed, and if you wanted to read later, chapters 37 to 50 in Joseph, we'll just give you a synopsis this morning. Joseph was rejected at home. He was the 11th of 12 children by four different mothers. There was, as you would think, a very dysfunctional home, a lot of rivalry, bitterness, competition. And his brothers were very jealous of him. Joseph was the favorite son of his father, and it was very obvious that he was the favorite. So the brothers became jealous of him. And things transpired to the point where the jealousy was so great that they plotted to kill him one time. And the very last moment, they changed their minds and instead sold him into slavery. 17-year-old brother, the highlight of his father's life, the apple of the eye of his father, they sold him into slavery. And so in just moments, hours, he went from the pampered son to a slave. And so he knew rejection. Perhaps you can relate to that in your own life, in your own home life as you grew up. Perhaps you were in an abusive situation, abusive life. Perhaps you had a difficult childhood growing up. So maybe you can relate and understand a little bit about what Joseph went through. The second thing we see about him, about his circumstances, he was seduced and slandered at work. He was sold to a slave master by the name of Potiphar. And Potiphar had him work for him in his business or whatever. And he worked very successfully, got the confidence of Potiphar. But Potiphar's wife, she had eyes for Joseph and she tried to seduce him. Now, we may think that sexual harassment in the workplace is relatively recent, but it's thousands of years old. And it works both ways. Joseph had to, he experienced sexual harassment in the workplace. But he refused her. He held to his morals, teaching us today that you don't have to succumb. You don't have to give in to what the crowd wants you to do. You don't have to give in to wrong. This woman, day after day after day after day, she came after him when Potiphar wasn't there. And one day Potiphar was totally gone, not in the area. And she approached him again. She grabbed him by his robe. He ran away, left his coat in her hands, but he kept his character. Well, she framed him from there. We've heard the statement, hell has no fury like a woman scorned. Well, that's what happened here. She framed him. She told her husband a lie that Joseph had attacked her. And so Potiphar listened to his wife, put Joseph from the slave house. Now he went to prison for a crime that he did not commit. Things were pretty bad in slavery, but they went from bad to worse to prison. So he was in prison for a crime he did not commit. How more unfair can that be? Maybe, perhaps you've been dealt with before in an unfair situation. My son-in-law some years ago was fired from a major corporation for the same kind of thing, an unfair treatment, a lie. He was accused of something, never got to face his accusers, but they let him go. Something similar to this. Maybe you've had a similar situation. Accused of something you did not do. An unfair treatment. Lost a job, lost a relationship, lost whatever, lost money. He was seduced, slandered at work, he was rejected at home. And then we see that he was forgotten by his friends in prison. He's in prison. He's there for a while. And then one day, the butler of the king, accused of a crime, was sent to prison. And they became friends. And one night, the butler had a dream that Joseph supernaturally interpreted. And through that, he realized that the butler was going to be released by Pharaoh. Pharaoh changed his mind, came down, released him. And Joseph said, "Remember me, Mr. Butler, when you get out. Tell Pharaoh, tell the king about me. I don't deserve to be here." Well, the butler says, "Yes, okay," but he promptly forgot about him. For 2 long years, he was there in prison. And it might teach us a lesson about our circumstances. Sometimes jealous people will try to hurt you. Sometimes immoral people will try to tempt you. And sometimes ambitious people will try to use you. But you can still succeed if you have learned to live by faith and keep your faith, keep your trust, keep your eyes on God. God was with Joseph all of this time. Didn't seem like it outwardly. Here he's rejected by his brothers. He goes to slavery. He goes to prison. It doesn't seem like God's even in the picture. But he was with Joseph all of this time, and he was in the process of developing this man, because the job that God had for Joseph, the future of Joseph, he could not have done it with the level of character that he had. God had to build his character up so that he could meet the qualifications of the man who ultimately would save the world. What do you do? Let me ask you a question. What do you do when your circumstances seem to work against you and your dream? What do you do when things don't go the way you want them to go? What do you do when things don't really pan out the way you think they ought to go? How do you deal with that? How can you make an impact when it seems that everything in your life is conspiring to make you mediocre? What do we do in a church things don't go the way we think they ought to go? How do we handle that? Well, God uses our circumstances, ladies and gentlemen. He oversees everything to wean us from the thinking of the world, and he teaches us how to grasp his perspective. Three things that I want to share with you. Because Joseph was weaned in order to develop his character. One day, God would promote this man to be the right-hand man of the king of Egypt, the strongest, most powerful nation on the face of the earth at that time. And he would be the man that Pharaoh would pour all of his confidence into to literally save the world. Now, what are the three things? Number one, fulfill your responsibilities. When your world turns upside down, when everything goes wrong, when you're treated unfairly, when you don't think things are right, fulfill your responsibilities. Joseph, through all of this, it's an amazing thing. You read his story. Never does he complain. Never does he criticize. Never does he say it's unfair. He was always faithful, dependable. He gave his best, no matter what. So ultimately, he was promoted to leadership. Potiphar, the slave master, the scripture said, he had no worries whatsoever over his possessions, but he prospered because of Joseph. You see? Can your boss say that about you? Is your company, is your business better because you're there? Are you a person that is an asset to your organization? Are you a person that people can look to and know that you're doing the job and that they all benefit because you are there? Well, Potiphar was blessed by Joseph. But soon, Potiphar's wife attacked and seduced Joseph. And so he was thrown into jail. And there he is, and you read a little bit further, and you see that Joseph then was promoted in prison. He was faithful to the warden, to the jailer, and ultimately the jailer gave Joseph responsibility for the administration over the entire prison. He went in there at the bottom, and finally the jailer had no worries because he trusted Joseph. You can't keep a good man down, the saying goes. He's put into prison as a prisoner, and soon he's serving as the assistant warden. Cream rises to the top, does it not? He's given a lemon and he makes lemonade out of it. Joseph may not have understood why all of these things happened, but he did know who was the Lord of his life. And he did know how he was supposed to act, what he was supposed to be. See, when responsibility was turned over to him, nobody had to worry because he was reliable. He was faithful. He was dependable. He would serve his superiors. And eventually, when the butler was released, Pharaoh had a dream. And he was wondering, what does it mean? And that butler then remembered, forgive me, O king, but there was a man in the prison. Well, I had a dream, and he interpreted, told me, and then it came true when you pulled me out of prison back to serve you. So Pharaoh reached down into the prison, pulled Joseph up, told him the dream, and Joseph interpreted it just like that. A worldwide famine was coming. There was going to be 7 prosperous years followed by 7 very, very lean years. And he said, you need to come up with a system, get somebody in charge who can administer this so that when the lean years come, you'll have food plenty for your people. And Pharaoh looked around and he said, who is a man with the Spirit of God like you? And Pharaoh, can you imagine this? Truth is stranger than fiction sometimes. Can you imagine a king reaching down into the prison and bringing a prisoner up to be his right-hand man? But that's what happened. Eventually, he was promoted because God was so obvious in his life. God was first and foremost in his life. Let me ask you this morning, do you do your best with your job even when you hate it? Do you do your best in a circumstance that you don't want to be in? Do you still give it your all? Or do you quit? Do you gripe and complain and criticize? Or do you make the best of the circumstance and do your very best? Do you realize this morning, do you know that the quality of your work reveals the quality of your spiritual life? How you work on the job, how you perform your duties, says a whole lot about the quality of your relationship with God. There is a direct correlation, ladies and gentlemen, between shoddy workmanship and a poor testimony. Many Christians are lazy on the job, and they're an insult to Jesus Christ. We ought to be the best we can be for Jesus. Joseph succeeded in spite of his circumstances. Why? Because he gave it his best shot. It didn't matter who his boss was. He fulfilled his responsibility. You see, the issue for so many of us, it's not about our boss. It's not about our circumstances. It's not about the situation that we're in and we don't like it. It's what kind of Christian we are. It tells how we respond to our circumstances, tells us everything about who we are and what's inside. The law of success, I think, God laid it out for us in Luke 16:10. Be faithful in the little things. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, Jesus said. Whoever's dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So it's in those routine areas of life. The times when nobody sees you that really prove who you are. So fulfill your responsibility. Secondly, maintain your integrity. Joseph was a man of absolute moral purity. He was so spotless that they had to make up charges against him, like Potiphar's wife. She lied to get him into trouble. He knew that no one might ever know that he could do this in secret, maybe get away with it, but he refused to give in because, you see, he was motivated by right principles. Loyalty to others. When you lose your integrity, you hurt other people. And he was motivated by a love for God. He loved God and would not be disloyal to him. And there is foolishness, the scriptures tell us, in immorality. Joseph kept his character. So even when everything is going wrong, whether in your life, in the church, you still must keep your integrity. You'll save yourself much grief. You'll honor God. Don't allow yourself to cheat or to compromise or to give in. To keep your eyes upon the Lord and his word and keep doing what is right. Joseph was blessed. He blessed the world because he maintained his integrity. Lastly, trust God's sovereignty. When I talk about sovereignty, I mean the fact that God is in control. God is sovereign. He's in control. It talks about supreme power, supreme authority. Joseph, years before, And she read this story there in Genesis. When he was 17, he had a dream, a couple of dreams, and he told his brothers about it. And they realized what he was saying is one day he was telling them, I'm going to rule over you. I'm going to be your boss and you're going to report to me. He naively shared his dream with his brothers. You know, sometimes God gives you a message like that. Sometimes you just need to keep it quiet because it'll get you in trouble. And that's what happened with Joseph. They didn't like what he told them, so they sold him into slavery. And for some 20 years, God never explained to him what was happening. God didn't tell Joseph, well, Joseph, let me tell you what's going on in your life so you can hang in there. No, God didn't do that. Joseph had every reason to wonder why. He had every reason to doubt God's love. God gave him a dream. He got excited about the dream, and now he was a slave. Things weren't going well. Years later, however, it all became clear as he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. He was promoted to be the second man in power, the right-hand man of the king of Egypt, and he was used to save the world because not only people in Egypt, but people all over the world, when this famine hit, they came to Egypt to get fed. They came to Egypt to beg or to buy food. And Joseph was the man who distributed the food, who gave it out. He was in control over all of that. And one day, through all of this, his brothers, way over in Canaan land, they ran out of food, but they heard there was food in Egypt. Now remember, they thought their brother was dead. 20 years have gone by, they don't recognize him. But they come, they're begging food from him. His dream comes true because he is over them now. But when they did come, he treated them kindly. Let me ask you, what would you have done? What do you do when people treat you badly? What do you do when people treat you unfairly? What do you do when people attack you? Joseph treated them kindly. And through all of this, he learned at least two lessons that I think we can learn in bad circumstances. Number one, pain often has a hidden purpose. We may not understand why we're going through difficult times. And there's not always a formula, A plus B equals C, how to get through it. No, you just have to keep your focus on God. Keep your emphasis on God. And that pain so often is not understood until the pain is over. Then God begins to reveal to you why it all happened. Secondly, God often redirects our lives through failure or sin or broken dreams. We're going this way and we think this is the way to go. Then God does something and because he wants us to go this way and he redirects our lives. That's what he did with Joseph. Joseph would have never been in this situation if his brothers had not tried to kill him, if he had not been sold into slavery, and if he had not been into prison and met the butler, he would have never been in a position where he could save the world. Because through all of these 20 years, God began to develop a character in him. And by the time he got there, he was able to be the man wise enough, smart enough to deal with the world's problems. You see, his reaction to his brothers who tried to murder him revealed his trust in God. He told them in Genesis 50, all that you did for evil, but God meant it for good so that the world might be saved. He wasn't a victim, ladies and gentlemen, he was a victor. Realize today, as we look at his life story, you don't have to continue to allow those from your past to hurt you. Sometimes we're bitter because of the hurt. We cannot get over some things that have happened in our past. Maybe it's even in our childhood. And yet you don't have to. The root of bitterness is refusing to trust in God's sovereignty. If we know that God is sovereign, we realize that everything that happens has a purpose and we can keep our eyes on him because we know he's a good God and eventually he'll bring everything into good. Sometimes we don't think God's in control, but God allows things to happen to wean us from this world and to turn to him. Joseph had persistent faith. For 20 years, nothing went right. And so he could have given up. But he fulfilled his responsibilities. He did the best he could with what he had. He lost his dreams, but not his integrity. He knew what to do when circumstances disputed the dream that God had given him. He kept on doing what was right. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. When your circumstances are bad, when you don't understand, when you don't like what's happening, ask yourself three questions. Is what is happening my fault? Secondly, what can I learn from what is happening? And third, how does God want me to respond? God uses circumstances of life to wean us from the world's way of thinking. I ask you, does the quality of your work make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ? And do you work for his glory in everything you do? On your job, do you really work for his glory? Do you make an impact for him? What circumstances in your life have you been using as an excuse for not doing more with your life? You see, God wants to teach us to live by faith in him. Perhaps you don't feel you can make an impact. Perhaps you've lost your integrity, you've compromised, you've cheated. Start over. We have a gracious God, God of the second, third, and 9,000 chances. Maybe you failed. Well, if you look in the Bible, most people in the Bible that God used failed terribly. God makes failures into victors. God loves to show himself strong in our lives, so let's not use past failures as an excuse. God wants to use every one of us. You may be on the verge of some great thing. What God could do through you would be phenomenal to all of us. Bow your heads with me. Let God use your circumstances and build your faith. I ask you this morning as we go to the Lord in prayer, are you fulfilling your responsibilities even though your situation's tough right now? Are you maintaining your integrity? Are you trusting God's sovereignty? If not, give these things over to God. Turn your heart and your mind to him. Folks will be available after prayer this morning to pray with you if there's something you need to pray for, but give it all to him. Let him be the focus of your life. Let him be your Savior. If you do not know him as Savior today, use this time this morning to give your heart and your life to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the fact that we can trust you and live for you by faith. We ask you this morning to draw us to you. If there's someone who does not know you as Savior, may today be that day that they invite you into their life. Have your will and your way in each and every one of us. Exalt and magnify yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.